help and our only expectation be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 35, the stanzas 1 and 2. Psalm 35, the stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Beloved, the scripture reading in this evening hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the Old Testament in the book of Judges, chapter 16. But first we have to confess our faith with the words of the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeated scripture reading in the book of Judges, chapter 16. And then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and he went unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bare and all, and put them upon his shoulder, and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith those mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green wits that were never dried, then shall I be weak, and be as an other man. And the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green wits, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And now there were many lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the wits as a thread of tow is broken when it touched the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never was occupied, then shall I be weak as be another man. And Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with a web, and she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And he said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me this three times, and hast not told me wherein thy greatest strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There has not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath shewed me all his heart. And then the lord of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon their knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. And howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And then the Lord of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer the great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God has delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years so far. The scripture reading. Let us pray. Lord, that we may be filled with reverence as we approach to thee in prayer. Let it be no evil in thy eyes when we ask for a blessing for all of the members and the attendants, but also for those who are not able to come in thy house because of any reason, whatever reason it is. O Lord, be with them, and we thank thee for gathering us together around thy holy word, and let it be a power to our salvation for thy glorious name's sake. Also, when we will try to think about Samson's life, Samson the judge. And we need thy spirit in speaking and listening. Lord, reveal the spiritual lesson in this story to us, because this story hides a lot of spiritual secrets which cannot understand by our carnal nature, by our carnal nature and brains. Lord, we are helpless, hopeless, but that we may know it. We need spiritual light. We need free grace to understand this story for our spiritual well-being. O Lord, we pray thee for those who are in circumstances of need. Help them out in the way of true conversion. We pray thee for the sick and afflicted, for those who have gotten a message that there is no healing anymore for their bodies, but that thy ways with them may lead to true conversion, that they may flee to the throne of grace to cry for forgiveness, to cry for saving their souls. O Lord, we all need the same, and that we may know that we have no idea in what kind of danger we are by nature, but we need real conviction and discover us in what terrible state we are, that we are fallen in Adam, O Lord, that we may come to the judgment seat in accepting our damnation, like the murderer on the cross. O Lord, reveal thyself in Christ in our misery, that we may know our misery and our transgressions. Lord, thou art completely right to throw us away, but have mercy upon us, or we perish. Lord, we pray thee for the heathen on the mission field. We pray thee for thy servants, O Lord, on the mission field. But in our country, there are enough heathen to serve them with thy gospel. Lord, thou knowest how to reach them, how to save them. We pray for the Jewish people, O Lord. It is thy people. They are still unconverted and in bondage of the law. But thou canst change it in one moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Lord, it is all up to thee, but we have no rights and no worthiness in ourselves. But hear us because of thy begotten Son, that great Samson. More than Samson is here, Jesus Christ. He has reconciled thee with his own sacrifice of life. Give us an application of reconciliation in Christ. We pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved congregation, this evening we want to preach independence of the Lord about the judge, Samson. Yeah. Samson, his life, his battles, and his office as a Nazarite of God. Yeah, actually, Samson is one of the most remarkable persons in the Old Testament. But Samson was also a type of Christ, the most precious person mentioned in the entire scripture. And may the thoughts about Samson be to our learning and education, spiritual education, but above all to true conversion. Because without true conversion there is no place for spiritual learning and education. Samson's life. He fight the fights of God. Samson's life, of which we must say, who will understand it? Looking at the course this man of God took, the question could be asked, how can such a thing be consistent with grace, with free grace? Now, beloved, the Lord glorify one thing in his word, namely free grace in Christ, in spite of sin, because all the saints are bought with a price. And free grace is also revealed in the life of Samson the judge. But before reflecting on it more closely, we'd like to draw your attention to five thoughts. First, Samson's birth announced by the angel. 2. Samson driven by God's Spirit. 3. Samson fallen into sin. 4. Samson restored in his office. And 5. Samson's last battle. This first. Samson's birth announced by the angel. 2. Samson driven by God's Spirit. 3. Samson fallen into sin. 4. Samson restored in his office. 5. Samson's last battle. And beloved, the question which has just cropped up, namely how Samson's life could be consistent with grace, has been asked by many. For it still appears to be a mystery that only godless people can be reconciled with the death of Christ. And now you should not think that we want to play down Samson's sins, for Samson found out that sin was no trifle. And that holds true for all God's people, for a natural man doesn't know that sin is no trifle. He does not feel anything of it. But God's word is so honest, beloved, so honest, that it does not only mention the acts of faith of the saints, but also the sins into which they have fallen. In order that we should learn how terrible it is to sin against the holy God, but how great grace is for the chief of sinners, through the application of the sacrifice of Christ to the heart. And Samson had a saving knowledge of it. Yeah. Many claim that history does not tell whether Samson had grace. They don't say this out loud, however, for through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul puts Samson in the row of heroes of faith, so that they are silenced. Not to be revealed as those that practice criticism of the scripture. And the striking thing is that Samson is hardly preached about, because many don't know what to think of such an extraordinary course. But the Lord knows how to act according to his wise counsel. He chooses and causes to approach Samson, the Nazarite of God, a judge, called and sent to deliver his people from the Philistines. Yeah, superficial religion, especially in our days, would like to tear this history out of the Bible, but I believe that there is a people on earth who are glad that it is in the Bible to comfort and admonish them. For time and again it appears that even the holiest men have only a small beginning of disobedience. Yeah, they have the complete obedience of Christ. But in practice, small beginning. And the preaching for good people dominates only too much in our days. But God's people, yeah, that is Philpott says, Wait, do you know what Philpott says? God's people need gold, silver and precious stones in their hearts, which the fire cannot destroy, and leave wood, hay and stubble of dry doctrinal thesis to the dead Calvinists. Yeah, that is what Philpott has said. And that's true. We only want to say that for God's people, grace is not cheap, but it remains an incomprehensible wonder of God's sovereignty. And this was also the case in Samson's life, in which not Samson, but only grace is glorified to God's honor and glory. Now, you know the history, beloved. Israel, which has strayed away from God through sin, was visited with the rod of the Lord and has been bowed down under the tyranny of the Philistines, for 40 years, 40 years. And I'm convinced that even then the Lord had a remnant according to the election of grace, and they had been convinced of sin and have cried out, "In evil we have gone astray, and sinful is our race, rebelliously our fathers walked, forgetful of thy grace." Beloved, our dear fatherland is still dominated by the Philistines of our days, because we have forsaken the Lord and we have hewed out cisterns that can hold no water. Oh, that God's Spirit will discover that heaven-provoking burden of sins in your and my hearts, so that there would be found a people even now that own their guilt before God. Because then God would remember his covenant. And that's what happened to Israel, for their people had been brought to realize their guilt, and behold, the Lord remembered his covenant. What happens? An angel came down from heaven to earth to announce the deliverance from the yoke of the Philistines. And then Samson said the angel would be a Nazarite unto God from the womb till the day of his death, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now here Samson may be called a type of the greater Samson, the Lord Jesus Christ. And however outwardly he could not be a Nazarite, for the law of the Nazarite belonged to the administration of shadows. And Christ was sanctified by his Father. Christ possesses all that the shadows could only point at. And that's what grace did to Samson who was unable to point to the Lamb of God who could deliver himself unto death, even unto death, unto the death of the cross. He did this voluntarily for a guilty and damnable people in itself, but elect by God and precious to God. Now God looks upon his people in the Son of his everlasting love, who paid the price of blood necessary to quench God's righteous wrath over sin and sinners. And as a type of the greater Samson, the Old Testament points to the sacrifice of Christ fulfilled in the New Testament, in the time of the New Testament. But both the Old and the New Testament testify of Jesus Christ, him crucified. You can find it on every page on the Bible. The Bible is full of Jesus Christ, him crucified. Beloved, let us supplicate for regenerating grace to understand the things which are of God's Spirit. And that means searching God's Word prayerfully, for if you can omit this, we are still dead Calvinists, as Philpott put it. And the Lord says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now that's a real experience for the people of God. Yeah. The Lord works this by means of the preaching and the searching of his word. And then we find out that we do not know anything yet and have to learn everything. Also after a life of grace of 40 years, we have to learn everything. And otherwise, if we take intellectual knowledge for the light of the Spirit, that goes from better to best. The Lord forbid that we should belong to the enlightened sort, but may he rather grant that we are discovered of it. For letter knowledge only is eternally, if insufficient, to be able to meet God. The true grace God's people need to be tried as gold is tried in the fire, so that they, being poor, are rich in him, who is life. Now, beloved, there is no fruit that is no fruit of our own field, that is no fruit of our own garden. But that that which God demands, he is willing to give to poor people out of grace. For them there is room for deliverance. And that is a people despised in itself, and they cannot help themselves. No, not anymore. So it is with Samson, for it says of Samson's father Manoah that he was from the tribe of Dan. Now what is about the tribe of Dan? Samson was a Danite, from the tribe of Dan. Father Jacob says in Genesis 49, through the Spirit of God, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Now we know that Samson became a judge. But there is more. What Father Jacob has said about Dan, he says, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. Well, who would give an office to such a man, to such a serpent? Who would give grace and honor to such a man? However, the Lord acts without respect of persons, and grace is given freely. And now, we come to the question of the beginning of our topic. That could be an indication that Samson had true grace. And then we should observe first that we should put this question to ourselves in the first place. And the second observation concerning this is that superficial religion will answer this question in a negative way. For according to the Pharisees, a black sinner like Samson could never be converted. And if we ourselves had to give an answer to the question whether Samson possessed true grace, then I'd like to wait for some time, because we think, I'm sure, that the scriptures themselves make that clear. For Samson's end will make the beginning clear, and Samson's beginning will make his end clear. Now, if we stick to that, we can start with the beginning without first making the end clear. We have already said the Lord chooses and causes to approach, as the Son of God comes down in the figure of an angel. Yeah, the Old Testament revelation of Christ happened often by the appearance of an angel. And this is already proved by the kingly announcements of the child to be born. For the Lord does not show himself to the world in this appearance. It is only in his humiliation that the world can behold him. The Lord himself set Samson apart as a Nazarite of God, sanctified from his mother's womb, till the day of his death. So, that was no prophecy of man, but that was divine prophecy. Now, grace goes before sin. Do you understand that? Grace goes before sin. For the Lord has loved Samson with an everlasting love. For when the Lord sanctifies a man, he never does it without remission of sin. This always goes before. Justification preceded sanctification. No, Christ preceded sanctification. And that fact is confirmed furthermore by the answers that Manoah gives, when he fears that he must die, because he says that he has seen God. And that was true. That was true. But he had seen God in his express image of his person. And that is Christ, here in the figure of an angel. Manoah couldn't see that there was already blood in it. But his wife had been led further in faith, for she instructed her husband in the way of the Lord, who had revealed himself to them so wondrously. And I think that Samson's mother knew some of what Jesus says to Philip in John 14. You can read it in John 14. He says, that has seen me has seen the Father. Alright, the story goes on. For the Lord calls Samson, and Samson is born. And the Lord blessed the lad, also a confirmation of what had happened before, is also in type. Listen. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, it was the same with Samson. It was the same for Christ. For Samson received his qualification to his office through the Spirit of the Lord. Not in that fullness of Christ, but he received his qualification to his office through the Spirit of the Lord, who began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. And that was necessary to do his official work. And here we also think of Christ's qualification in his mediatorial office, who was received by the Spirit without measure, to begin his work as prophet, priest and king. And we consider Samson as a redeemer in time, eh? And for the time. But Christ as the redeemer for time and eternity. Now that we may know him, eh? That we may know the greatest Samson. For time, for the time is short and eternity is without end. And the Lord who sends his servant also sends Samson, eh? And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman, a girl in Timnath, one of the daughters of the Philistines. And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleased me well. Now somebody says, but preacher, now you say things which are not biblical. For you say that the Lord sent Samson to Timnah to marry the girl, but isn't that exactly what the Lord had forbidden? To be unequally yoked with heathens. Yeah, that's right. And yet it says in verse 4, his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he, Samson, sought an occasion against the Philistines. Now let us bow down before the authority of the word of God. Samson has to act here, mind you, against the Lord's revealed will, but nevertheless in his favor. And here my understanding fails. But the Lord never does wrong, not ever. Not even when he cannot understand it. As a matter of fact, it is not a thought of doctrine, because Paul testifies of it in Romans 11. In adoration he cries out, O depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who? Or who has been his counselor? Who? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, Paul says, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Yeah, we want to say some more of this. First and foremost, God's ways of dealings are unsearchable, and on the one hand, these doings of God remained a mystery to Samson's parents, but the Lord also inclines their hearts to go to Timnath with Samson. And on the other hand, God's doing was no mystery to Samson, but he couldn't explain it. He did believe through the motion of the Spirit that this was the will of God, and he acted accordingly. And this fact is confirmed to us, for we can read in Amos 3:7. It says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophet. Now, that was also for Samson. Huh? Samson was a dear servant of the Lord. Yeah, there are many that accuse Samson of sins, already in this event, but God's word tell us totally different. Samson acted in God's favor, for he had a divine commission beginning to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. And the Spirit of the Lord moved him to enter into this marriage, to have a reason to do harm to the Philistines. And that was an act of faith. It was against the revealed will of God, but it was in God's favor. And therefore Samson is called a hero of faith. He could have in exercise, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself by God." And when he turns aside on the way to Timnath, what happens then? He meets a roaring lion. Wow. And this is not to be accounted for either. Why turn aside? We know the history. To meet that lion. But that is easy to say, when we are past the event. But Samson could not foresee that. He was confronted with it. And was moved by the Spirit. Sometimes God's people are moved to do a certain thing without being able to account for it. You say, does it still happen? Sure, this still happen. The Reformed religion in our days, a threefoldom, deny this. But even now the Lord moves in an extraordinary way. These are things in the life of grace which are attacked the most. So there came a roaring lion to Samson. Whoa. For the devil is not idle. Mind you? No. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And the devil thought, now, we will slay that Samson by means of that lion. For the devil understood very well that this Samson, this judge, was an enormous opponent of the Philistines' friends, of his Philistines' friends. The devil was on the hand of the Philistines. But the devil had not reckoned with the God of Samson. No. For the Spirit came mightily upon Samson, and he seized that lion barehanded and tore it into pieces. Now, well, people, it will show whether your faith is from God, for at that moment your doctrinal ideas will not help you. No. Neither had Samson time to, so to say, look up the marginal notice of the Bible, like this. Wait a moment, lion, I must first consult my dogmatics. No, friends, then either God is present, or it is a soul bubble that bursts. Now we go on. So Samson had slain that lion through faith, but he does not say anything about it to his father and mother. Now that is true humility, by grace. That is true humility. He does not boast of his deeds. He didn't say, "I have just killed a lion." No. He keeps it between the Lord and his soul as a secret. So this Matthew Henry says that modesty and humility form the most shining crown for great heroic acts. And well, this event was such an act, wasn't it? Or do we read it a story like a legend? Or a fairy tale? It is God's testimony, the infallible word of God. For also, the killing of that lion was included in God's counsel. It was a foretaste of the great battle which he knew himself unable to destroy the Philistines in the name of the Lord. And we also mention here the spiritual type, namely that Christ would bruise the devil's head with his sufferings and death during his stay on earth. And that is a spiritual lesson in it. And the honey which Samson takes out of the carcass of the lion when passing it also is a spiritual meaning. seeking something of value in a carcass of a dead lion seems to offer little attraction, but to Samson the spot was an Ebenezer memory. And he takes the honey and gives some of it to his parents. He doesn't say anything about the lion. No. But this act reminds us of what the Lord says in Matthew 24, verse 28, where it says, "For wheresoever the carcass, there will the eagles be gathered together." And the dead body points to Christ on the cursed tree of shame. And this man of sorrows is not to be desired. But the Lord Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." That's his people. And who that may share in it may sometimes draw comfort and taste sweetness from the wounds of the Savior, of the precious Savior. "For his flesh is meat indeed, and his blood is drink indeed for a thirsty soul." And like the honey from the lion was sweet to Samson, thinking of the great deeds of the Lord. he gave him the power to slay the lion. And Christ feed his people from the fountain of life. Samson couldn't not keep his hand of it, of that honey. Do you understand what we mean? Samson, the solitary warrior, fights a fight which has already been decided, for the victory is God's. Samson fight the fights of God. God shall arise and by his might put all his enemies to fight with shame and consternation. For as a matter of fact, this battle is the fight between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. As promised in paradise. But God has been ahead of the devil by in eternity. And therefore the devil cannot keep God's people out of heaven, and God's people cannot fall away through sin. No, that's impossible. They can fall, for sure. For the devil is always about the seduce God's people to sin. For he does know very well that when God's people fall into sin, they lose the communion with God. And when they must miss the communion with God, God's people is helpless and powerless. And we'll come back to this presently, when Samson falls into the snare of sin, and the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And in this way he tries to devour through the hands of Samson's own people, the Jews. They come with 3,000 men. When they come to Samson, he must go. He that troubled Israel, for they want peace. Yeah. But it was a peace and not true peace. It was a false peace. For a peace without strife is not true peace. It's false peace. And that means something for God and something for the world. And something for God and something for the Philistines. For that Samson only causes quarrel and strife. And that's not what they are waiting for. They say, "We shall bind him and give him up into the hands of sinners." And what is Samson doing? He says, Here are my hands. Bind it together. And that's what their plan is. For it is expedient that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Yes, they must have said that without any doubt. And this has to do with the suffering Redeemer when Caiaphas said the same thing about Christ. Christ suffered himself to be bound in order to release them that are bound in the shadow of death. And when that happens, the church may boast, the snare is broken and we are escaped. That the blind eyes of our souls may be opened for the first time or by renewal, to jubilate in this incomprehensible, one-sided divine love. For Christ has prayed for transgressors, for enemies who have bound him with their sins. But those that apply to him with their sins and miseries to be healed are restored by him on his time. And Samson had to live also on the free favor which moved him. If Samson remains in his calling with obedience to his promise of Nazarite-ship, he gains victory after victory, and he may continually sing of it. Just listen. With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. Somebody says, wasn't that blowing his own trumpet? No, certainly not. For we must mark well that what the word says, it says that Samson called that place Ramat Lehi. Now, was that without meaning? No, for Ramat Lehi means casting away of the jawbone. So Samson didn't honor himself for the jawbone, but the Lord. Here also, Samson honors the Lord. It shows in the name, but also when he is tired and thirsty after such heavy battle, he supplicates to the Lord for water. And he calls upon the Lord as his covenant God. He says, Thou hast given this deliverance into the hand of thy servant. Not me, O Lord, but thou hast done this. Is this also our confession, beloved? In all circumstances of life. Now the marginal notes of the Bibles say of this that with this Samson shows his faith and confronts God with his covenant of grace. And Samson goes on, And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? Samson had deserved to die here, that's true. But God would lose his honor, because the war, the fight, is still God's fight. The war is still God's war. And with this Samson shows that he is a child of God, for he had no slavish fear of the Most High Majesty. Actually, he prays to the Lord. Lord, it is thy cause. Thy honor is at stake. Lord, remember thy established covenant, and let thy heart be moved in love to me by it. So, God clave the hollow place, and Samson drank a drink of mercy out of the free favor that moved the Lord from eternity. In this way God's children may drink from the fountain of living waters to quench their thirst after the righteousness of Christ in the foundation of salvation. If only Samson had remained in that faith, you say, and that would have been the best thing by far, but may I ask you, do we have a better way? Do we have a way like this Samson, who by faith overcame lions and Philistines? I would like a lot of people with their so-called great faith to attack that to attack a lion barehanded. I think the outcome would have been different and worse. And what Samson could do was grace, beloved, pure grace. But indeed, if only Samson had remained in true faith, and we mean the activity of that true faith, for you should remember God's people are without strength, even if they never lose the sense of that true faith, but without the exercise of it, they are always ready to limp and falter. And only they do not think so, but they do think they are strong, but despising the strength of self is a lesson, beloved, learned at Jesus' school. And Samson had also to find that out. But let us follow Samson. We see him walking on his way to the city of Gaza. Of course, Samson is on his way to deal a serious blow to the Philistines. Now, if only that were true, but alas, he goes his own way. Like Jonah. Jonah goes his own way. When he has received the calling from the Lord. Now, Samson, Samson too, he goes his own way. For Samson was a bit tired of the war against the Philistines, I guess. And he looks around and what happens around us when we walk in the wicked city of Gaza is not good at all, no. But Samson looks everywhere and he sees a woman who was a harlot. And he went into her. Now what we see, what the devil could not attain it with an army, in a whole army of Philistines, he reaches with one single woman. Now actually the paradise sin repeats itself again with which we have fallen away from God in Adam. For it says, and she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. It was the paradise sin. The flesh always wants more, and all at once the devil is kind. Just looked at the paradise. And then he appears in a different form, in the figure of an angel of light. And in this way he seduces more people than in the figure of a roaring lion. He asks Eve in a kind way, yea, has God said... And this poison he also pours into Samson's heart. And in Gaza he rents the gates of the city away to throw them on a high rock, on the top of the hill. But soon after he came so grieved, for it says that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And we have read something about it in the Bible. Chapter 16 of Judges. Now Samson could not resist the temptation. No. This is not possible in man's own strength. But however, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. It is only the preserving hand of God when we make kept from sins against the seventh commandment breaking out. But if one should ask us, how many women have you had? The answer of that Samaritan woman was honest after discovery of her life and being by the Lord Jesus. Thou hast had 5 husbands, and he who thou know hast is not thy husband. Now what a conviction. But through the eye gate many women have been worn out, and we are guilty over against the seventh commandment. And let us not raise ourselves, for let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And the Lord Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptations. The spirit indeed is willing, but his flesh is weak. And when you don't agree with this, you can stand up. And Joseph was granted to have this in exercise in Potiphar's house, where the wife of his minister of Pharaoh tried to seduce Joseph. Tried to tempt Joseph. But through his fear of God, he was granted to decline her and with her the devil. How then, he says, can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now Samson, however, falls into Satan's snare, being seduced by a woman who is a harlot. A deep ditch, a valley of hell and death. Samson is going to give away the secret of his office, and with that he loses his extraordinary strength. You've read it in chapter 16. And he gives away his secret in exchange for a harlot's favor. That is bad. And then the Lord leaves Samson for his long hairs that guarantee his great strength as a sign is shorn off. And the Lord leaves Samson. And he becomes powerless and a helpless man. For it says, and Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. And he sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this time, for he has told me all his heart. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. So, Samson was betrayed by Delilah. But that was his own guilt. He has told her the secret of his office strength. And the enemy surrounds Samson and put out his eyes. Now, beloved, if we reflect on it and may realize what sins we have committed through our eye gate, then it will be a great wonder that we still can see, isn't it? And the Philistines were sure that Samson was powerless. Now that they have taken away his eyes, they rejoice, and so does the devil. Everything seems lost, especially to Samson. For know that he has lost his eyes, his hair, his office, his strength. He has also lost God. And that is all. That was the main thing of his misery. And Samson did grind in the prison house, which became a courthouse in his conscience before God. And there the Spirit came mightily upon him, not in showing of the bodily strength, but in the conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And here in prison, Samson falls in with the Lord in his holy justice and mourns about his sin debt. That before a God who always does good. And you should remember, beloved, when God's people fall into gross sin, the Lord sends hell and damnation into the conscience of his people. And that became a frightening hour for Samson. Samson falls to the ground under God. My transgression I confess, grief and guilt my soul oppress. I have sinned against thy grace, and provoked thee to thy face. I confess thy judgment just. Now Samson kisses the rod, which the Lord visits him, a rod from his own wood. He has sinned with his eyes, and now he has lost his eyes. And Samson wept without tears, and he ground in the prison house. Oh, woe is me, that I have sinned. And Samson wept the blood of his hollow eye sockets. He wept because of his crimes with real soul tears. Now somebody says, is that in the Bible? Listen, for God is bestowing grace on Samson. Pardon? Bestowing mercy upon Samson? Yeah. For it says in Judges, what we have read in Judges 16 verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. You say, that is normal, isn't it? Yes, that's what the Philistines also thought, and therefore they let his hair grow. But to Samson, it was so eternal wonder. It was a sign of free grace. For he had not expected this anymore. And he got the sign of being Nazarite back. And that was so great. That was so great for Samson. The Lord restored Samson in his office. But first let me sing. Psalm 86, verse 6. Grant thy strength in my affliction. Give thy servant thy protection. Rescue me, thy handmaid son. And what follows in Psalm 86, verse 6. With his satanic craftiness against this solitary warrior, God had meant it into good. For God himself sees to his honor. And we go on and lead you to Dagon's temple. The Philistines are going to celebrate. And they are going to have a feast in their temple to the honor of their gods who have delivered Samson to them, they thought. And the temple of Dagon is soon filled with men, women and children. And they are all in a festive mood and praise their God by thousands. They sing their satanic accords of praise For it says, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were many that they said, call for Samson that he may make a sport. And Samson came and a boy led him into the temple. But when he hears the shouts and the satanic singing to blaspheme his God, then a holy wrath is kindled in his heart. And he says to the boy, bring me to the center of the building. And Samson knows, I've got to be there. But now Samson's honor is not at stake, but the honor of Samson's God, the Holy One of Israel, Jehovah. And Samson has been delivered from Samson here. For now that he has been restored in his office, he prays as an office bearer again. Just listen. Nobody hears him now of the Philistines. The Philistines raise their voices more and more in their satanic play. And they mock the office bearer. They mock a Nazarite of God. And so they mock God himself. But God is not mocked. For the Lord who has restored Samson in his favor again has bound the honor of God on Samson's heart. For behold, he prayed. Can that be said of us also, my friends? For behold, he prayed. That was also said of Paul, the Apostle Paul in Damascus. For behold, he prayed. Although we have always been able to keep on the right track. They are sure of it, just like Samson. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that's what Samson could have in exercise here. But let us come a little bit closer to this imposing man of God here, what he is praying. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God. You may say, what is that? Now he is the Lord, the covenant God, Jehovah, the I am that I am, the faithful one. Samson prays, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once of the Philistines for my two eyes. Beloved, Samson does not pray whether he may take revenge of his enemies, and still he prays. We should understand well, Samson was a public figure, chosen by God to deliver his people from the Philistines. And actually, Samson was the embodiment of one people. That was God's covenant people, Israel. Was a public man. And here Samson does not pray with a fleshly rancor. No! He prays for God's revenge. Just like Elijah did. To destroy the soldiers with fire from heaven. That was not the wrath of Elijah. And here Samson was counted worthy to execute God's revenge, because God's honor was at stake. And the prophet Elisha was also mocked, but the cursing children had to pay dear for it, with their own blood, killed by two bears, going into eternity, just like this. And God does not suffer his servants to be mocked. And here Samson prays the Lord to give him his strength back, in which he had as an office bearer, in which he wanted to spend in his service, in his kingdom. To destroy the kingdom of the prince of darkness, And he prays to be enabled again to fulfill his office, which he had sinned away in such a bitter way. But now that his sin has been forgiven and he is filled with an holy wrath, he is answered by God. If things have not been straightened out between the Lord and Samson, God would not have answered Samson. For God does not let the unpropitiated sin lie. But when the Lord has settled his account with his people, and that always happens this in and on this side of the grave for the living church, the Lord does not leave his people in sorrow, for he testifies, them that honor me will I honor. And God is going to prove that to Samson, for the main thing is not Samson's revenge. No. The God of honor thunders, who that toucheth my people touches the apple of my eye. And Samson feels about, he feels the pillars on which the building rests. And the Spirit of the Lord comes mightily upon him. And he feels it. His muscles also, but also his heart are vibrating with the power of God. His official strength runs through his veins. The faith looks unto God. As Samson does not only pray, but takes God at his promise. Now, what was the promise? Now, we go back to the beginning of this story. And the angel said, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb of the day to the day of his death. Now here God is going to fulfill his own promise. However, Samson had sinned it away, God does not forsake the works of his own hands. It looks impossible. Two very heavy pillars support the building. But faith believes. And Samson pushes. The pillars give way. The enemy is silenced. The play stops. The devil trembles. But Samson jubilates. For the lion out of the tribe of Judah has come, and has conquered Samson the Danite, for he was a serpent, but the lion out of the tribe of Judah will bruise the head of the enemy, and crush the hairy head. And here Samson does not live anymore. Here Samson has been delivered from Samson. Here Samson is in the figure of the greater Samson. It is finished, for the victory is God's. And the Lord Jesus cried out, Father, in thine hands I commit my spirit. And Samson shoots. He shouts, let me die with the Philistines. He cried out. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell. And the enemy fell. And the enemies fell from the summit of the glory into eternal destruction, to the honor of God's holy name. And now we don't have to explain anything more. If we may understand that Samson's end makes the beginning clear, or rather, God began with Samson, and God has also finished it according to his perfect pleasure in Christ. For Christ testifies in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And Christ has cast down the realm of Satan like Samson threw down Dagon's temple. And when Christ had stretched out his arms on the cross, like Samson's arms were stretched out between the two pillars of Dagon's temple, and then he gave a faithful jerk at the gates of hell. For he testifies, I have the keys of hell and of death. And the life of Samson the Nazarite of God has ended. No, for his life was hidden, was in Christ, hidden in God. And now he was granted life through death. For after his death, life was prepared for him. And God took him up in glory. His task and his calling have ended, but not his life in Christ. That life is eternal. And however Samson has sacrificed his life and fought his last battle, but at the same time the greatest battle. For we have read, the dead which he slew at his death were more than which he slew in his life. Now what is the spiritual lesson of it, of this? It points to Christ again. For the Jewish cry out on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And when do they cry out this? When the Lord leads them to Calvary through the apostle Peter's mouth, whom ye have crucified. And then they are pricked in their hearts and cried out, is there no way by which we may escape in justice punishment and be again received into favor? Now that is the fruit of the preaching of the day of Pentecost, and the same day there were added 3,000 souls into the church as should be saved. And long before this great event, Samson was granted to have God's honor in view, without bias. And there he stands before the throne with all the saints. And they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. That new song, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. For he has redeemed us unto God by his blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And finally, his brethren and all the house of his father came down. Yeah, it's quite something. Samson fought alone all his life. He had never had a visit except from the Philistines. He had never experienced any strengthening visit from his relatives, nor his brothers in faith. But not before he has died do they appreciate him. Yeah. But it was too late, too late, too late. They understood him too late, too late. They cannot make up for it anymore. But the Lord has made well with Samson. The Lord had made well with himself because of his own good pleasure. Now, dear congregation, we have meditated on Samson history a little bit. But we do hope it will not be left at this history for us. We all have an undying soul to be gained. It is already lost. And don't let us keep the greater Samson calling by not taking heed to the preaching of the word. And how terrible it will be to fail into the hands of the living God, just like the Philistines. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. If Baal is God, serve him. If God is God, serve him. Now by nature we serve the idol. We serve ourselves. But keep in mind, if that is not changed through the renewal of our lives, through the spirit of that greater Samson, we will be without God forever, without Christ. And we ourselves are to blame, always having to chew your tongues in extreme darkness. Even today the greater Samson calls, come unto me, all ye godless, hopeless, reckless, wretched, And prayerless people without courage, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Beloved, dear congregation, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Eh? May the Lord bless his own testimony. Amen. Let us finish by singing Psalm 118, verse 3. 118, Psalm 118, verse 3. Consider what thy people is bought, that thy people is bought with a price. And Samson lived for Christ's account, and he is already singing to thy honor for about 6 ages. O Lord, time flies, and we have to be prepared for the never-ended eternity. Be the after-preacher of thy holy word, and give us no rest until we are saved in Christ. Samson has lived to thy honor by faith in spite of his sin, and he has conquered the battle by fighting Christ. Oh, that we may live in Christ to thy honor, to glorify thy holy name, because thou art so worthy to be honored. Lord, increase thy kingdom among us and reveal thyself to us by word and spirit, so that we may increase in faith if we may believe in thee. Keep us from the devil and from ourselves, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from sin, in Jesus' name. Keep us this week, and be with us all the days of our life. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen.